Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. Like it or not, I'm back. I appreciate everyone. I honestly think I saw Jeffrey that yesterday. Brad posted something that said we're coming up on 12 years of doing this show. I don't know why yesterday. Maybe it was announced 12 years ago yesterday, because I think we in the post that he had, it said we started on August 26th of 12 years ago. That was, of course, when John was the producer. I don't think in the time since, I don't think I've ever been off the air as long. Because I didn't, like, I did dip in last Monday, helped out a little bit there. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we were in trial in northern Michigan, where we were taking on the billionaire who was trying to pave over the wilderness. And I have to say, I think it went very well. So that was good. And then I came back after going to my sister's wedding. She's in her 70s. This is her second wedding. And a sister's wedding over the weekend. And then yesterday I was deployed to go cover the Fred Smith Celebration of Life down at FedEx Forum. And so you all had to hold down the fort then as well. So it seems like it's been ages since I've talked into this microphone. And again, I think it's the longest stretch since I started, because I usually try to at least, you know, pop on for a segment or two. So thanks for your role in holding it down. Did you have a spectacular trip and an equally spectacular birthday? Happy birthday, belatedly.
Thank you. We had a spectacular trip.
What was a single highlight? San Diego.
San Diego Zoo was pretty darn good.
Was it? What was the best part of the zoo? See, we lost our lion yesterday.
I did. I told Aaliyah this.
And you're a big fan of cat country.
I am.
How can you have a zoo without a lion?
Listen,
without the king of the beasts?
We have to grieve first. It's too soon. The body's not even cold, Jeff. Come on.
Interesting question. Because Fishman has two dogs. And one of his dogs is on its last legs. Okay? Very, very last legs. The moment will be coming soon. And he has already signed up for the next dog. He's put in for a rescue puppy, which is headed his way. Do you think you have to grieve? Do we have to grieve the lion? Can't we just go get another lion? I mean, if one were available.
I'm not sure what the lion market is. I also think with dogs, it seems it goes one of two ways. Either you never get another dog again, or like within a month you have another dog.
He wants to get one to overlap because he thinks his other dog will grieve so badly that he doesn't want the other dog to be distracted. I think that's a little overly solicitous of the younger dog. But anyway, we lost a lion. You went to the zoo. Mm-hmm. What was the best part of the San Diego Zoo?
So around the rhinoceros segment, the rhinoceros was letting it all hang out. That was quite funny.
With his wiener?
His
wiener.
Just touching the floor. Truly just wildly impressive. And my wife was like,
the rhinoceros. I wouldn't have bet the rhinoceros.
Well,
I was not going to bet the rhinoceros.
It was mainly my wife's reaction to it. I didn't even really notice it, but she could not stop thinking about it. Don't know what that says.
That's mighty.
No one psychoanalyzed that. I thought the jaguar was actually great. We did see the pandas.
About like the polar bears and the swimming beasts and stuff like that.
I loved the. I got the San Diego Zoo has like a spot where you can go see the penguins from like underneath the water.
That's what I like. That kind of thing.
That was
the little penguins pedaling away.
That was tremendous.
Swimming and diving.
Really just the overall, they do like a bus tour like right when you get there that basically takes you across like 70% of the ground.
So you like the zoo.
I highly
recommend
that.
Expectations. Did not disappoint.
Correct. I thought that was great. It was just good seeing my buddies again. That was fun. And then we went to Petco Park and I watched the Memphis Redbirds get beat by the San Diego Padres. Because the Cardinals were, like, playing.
Oh,
it was just absolutely no one. It's like, when we got there and I
good
saw the lineup card, I was like, let's just
walk nice back. Ballpark?
Nice ballpark. It was so, it was a playoff atmosphere on a Sunday afternoon. I was so wildly impressed.
What did you eat at the ballpark?
So, started off with something they called the Elote Dog, which was a bacon-wrapped hot dog with shaved street corn on top.
That sounds tasty.
That was phenomenal. And then in my seventh inning stretch was these... It's like Mexican street tacos that were also delightful.
So I listen. This is. I don't want to, you know. This we don't have to catch up too much. We'll get on to the world of sports today on the radio show. We've got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock and Fish on Friday on Tuesday from the hellhole that is Washington D.C., where the National Guard is being deployed, I think, and where the feds have taken over because Charles lives in such a unbelievably dangerous city. I wasn't aware of that, honestly, all along, but we'll get the complete update from DC in the second hour. Chris Harrington and then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. I could tell you about the trial, which, as I said, went well. I could tell you about my sister's wedding, which I tell you went well. But instead, I will ask you this question. So I went to before we left, I went on a bike ride in Greenwood, Mississippi. And you have a choice of going, I don't know. Basically, it was basically a 60-mile bike ride. Okay, so you check into a hotel the night before, and I was late to sign up. And there's not a lot of hotels in Greenwood, Mississippi. There's some. There's a very nice hotel
so
downtown.
I know there's
the
one.
Alluvian.
Yes,
yeah, which is
with the Viking.
Cooking products are produced there, and so they made this. They built this gorgeous hotel. Because all the people who were visiting Viking, right?
Yes.
They needed some.
Well, and they do like a cooking class and stuff like that.
So, I signed up really late, and it's a massive bike race, and so the pickings are slim, okay? So I just signed up. I knew it was a motel. I knew it was a motel where you walk in, but I've stayed in a lot of motels. I covered sports in the Southeast, right? I covered a lot of motels. I stayed a lot of motels in my day, and I just picked a motel. So we check in. And it honestly, when you drive up, it looked sketchier than sketchy. And I was feeling a little bad about it. But got our key, went up to the room, and Claire, who is not particular, really, she's not that fussy. She goes into the it's cold. That's nice. It's got the air AC is working. The window sort of AC thing cranking there. The one they have underneath
one
the window
check.
On a motel,
yep.
You know,
the wall unit
and the floors are like they're you know they're not carpeted because who would want to? Who knows what we're going to caught up in that carpet? So some kind of a linoleum kind of floor, right? Whatever,
made in a lab.
But then I hear from the bathroom. She said, there's skid marks in the toilet.
Not what you want to hear.
So that wasn't good. I said, well, flush it.
Well, yeah,
which
obviously.
Doesn't really. I said,
I thought
oh,
that would have been
flush
instinct.
It.
Yeah, come on.
And then she said, there's no toilet paper.
Okay.
There's no towels. I don't think this place has been serviced.
I would imagine the skid marks might all go together.
So now at this point, what do you do? So then I walk in and I'm like, I'm trying to think. I was just going to tell her to get over the skid marks. And then, but the no toilet paper and no towels is a problem, right? And so then I walk in to the bathroom and I look up and I say, there's men's underwear hanging over the shower bar, like the where the shower curtain is hanging. And I said, look, men's underwear. She said, those are yours. I said, they're not mine. I just got here. And so that was it. Like, that was the...
Did they just give you somebody's room and not know?
No, it wasn't. So because I walked back. Then I said, all right, let me go see. So I walked down to the
lobby
counter,
or whatever.
Well, it wasn't barely. It was... And he seemed appalled, and he said, "Oh, sorry, man, I don't know, whatever." There wasn't anyone else's room. I don't know why it was in that condition, except I think, in fact, every room was in some, because he gave me another key, and I went to check out this other thing, and I walked in there, and there was no toilet paper. There were towels, and there were no skid marks evident. And so I went back to him, and I said, "Listen, my wife's not that fussy, but can I get a couple of rolls of toilet paper so we get some toilet paper?" So he gave me toilet paper, and we moved down there, and we stayed there. And she said, and God bless her, she said, "I'm just going to pretend I'm camping." Was the spirit. How many out of 10 wives, how many wives, couples there, and maybe men too, but maybe I'm being sexist here. There's no question, because I do think women are more particular on this front than men.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Out of 10 couples, and there was evidently another motel we could have moved to for $150, right?
Well, my first thought was,
how many would have stayed? Out of 10 would have stayed.
So you did, could you figure out another option?
Another option that was a motel that we had actually stayed in 2 years before that was still a motel, but it wasn't in any way disgusting.
Because this is where,
and it was $150.
This is where I really need to call my wife and figure out, because this is around where she went to college, and so she would have probably just figured out, like, we would have been driving 45 minutes or somewhere to go to like a
room. Would you have, and there was an alternative that you could have gone to for, and it would have cost you another $150 to $200, would you at 10 at night have taken it? Obviously, you wouldn't have ended up in this position because she wouldn't have let you. But
right.
Had you done it.
I'm pretty sure we would have.
You would have left.
That would not have obviously been my call.
10 couples, how many would have left?
Man, don't you feel like at least six?
Yeah. I think at least six would have left. Just because the skid marks, or is it
I think it was the culmination. Like, he kind of hit the trifecta.
It was really
like,
bad.
It's like at a certain point when
it was so bad, man.
You can deal with one of those things, but it's like when you start to get with all three of those, you're just
It was really bad. I mean, it was really bad. It was the worst hotel I'd ever stayed in. And then I told Fishman about it, and he looked it up later, which I should have done. On TripAdvisor, it got a 1.8.
That seems high.
Which does seem high. Anyway, it's good to be back. Thanks for
supply and demand.
Thanks for filling in while I was gone to all who did, because it was a cast. It was a great cast who pitched in. Takes a village and all of that. All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Before we do anything else, I did think I talked just a little bit about, and it's been talked about, but the assignment that took me away yesterday, which was Fred Smith's celebration of life. And a couple things were striking about it. First, you know, the bottom bowl was largely filled.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise
me. Not 100% filled, but it was largely filled. At one point, they had people stand up. If you worked for FedEx in the 70s, stand up. If you worked for FedEx,
sure.
And in the end, anyone who had ever worked for FedEx, stand up. And it felt like 95% of the people who were there
sure.
had worked for FedEx. It was remarkable. I talked to a bunch of people in the plaza before the event, and And they had come from everywhere. A lot of people who had worked for FedEx for 35 years and retired. There was a woman in a wheelchair who had moved to Chattanooga and said, you know, but when I heard, you know, Fred Smith died, I just needed to be back in Memphis. There was another woman who'd worked for practically three decades as a delivery driver. And she said, FedEx, you know, changed my life. It enabled me to raise my daughter. There was another person I talked to who started out as a Germantown cop. And so it was all of, and ended up as head of vice president of security, so there were all of these people. And I don't even think this part gets, you know, we think about what Fred's impact on Memphis. He gave money to the zoo. He gave money to the University of Memphis. He gave the biggest impact, obviously, is all the people that FedEx employed, all the friendships that were made at work, all of the, I talked to couples who had met and gotten married because of FedEx, all of the, you know, they started out as youngsters and they ended up retiring. I talked to people who were like, well, I'm here because Fred's still paying my, you know, paying for my retirement. The unbelievable impact that just a, that sort of, and this is capitalism, ladies and gentlemen, this is the best part of it. Like the lives that were changed and fostered and, you know, enabled because of the jobs. And it's funny because you don't think that most people, like if you work for most companies, you wouldn't associate it with one person, right? You might say, oh, I spent a long time working for the, whatever, the Memphis school system, or spent a long time working for Delta, or for a long time, whatever, pick your company. You don't associate it.
Can we choose another airline, please?
You don't associate it with one human being,
yes,
who made that possible, right? And not only that, so people just flocked, and shockingly, I must have talked to at least a dozen people. They had all met Fred. They had all met him. Like there was one guy. I said, I remember when you first met him? Oh yeah. He said I was working in the tower. He wasn't an air traffic controller. He was an engineer and he was dealing with snow removal.
Sure.
He said, so I was in the tower. It was a snowstorm. He said, and someone behind me asked me if I needed anything. I was looking out, you know, he's looking out at the snow being cleared. He said, yeah, could you hand me that clipboard? And he turns around and it's Fred Smith handing him the clipboard. That's how he first met him. Cause Fred was down there, during the snowstorm in the tower, helping, with snow removal. The guy who was the Memphis, who was the Germantown cop who ended up head of security, spent a lot of time driving Fred around, and he'd like the work day would end and he'd say, oh, where do you want to go? And Fred would say, oh, we're going to the hub today. Or we're going to the, and so it's amazing how many, like every single one of them had at some point had a conversation with Fred. And then you walk in the doors and there's several photography stations set up and they're taking pictures of anyone who wants to have their picture taken. And what they were doing is they were taking all those pictures and they're making tiny little pictures and creating a mosaic that was then in the shape of all these pictures in the shape of you know, of Fred, basically, of this mosaic that looks like Fred, but that is composed with a million little pictures. And it's going to go up in the airport, which, by the way, will be named after Fred. And at one point, I saw nine different women try to squeeze into this one photo. And five of them were white, four of them were black, I think. And they were just like friends. That's the friendships that were made. They were just delighted to be there. Some had retired, some were still working. And I talked to one woman who said, you know, for a global corporation, this is about as mom and pop a feeling place as you can imagine. So there was just this overwhelming affection towards FedEx as a employer, as a boss, as a place that made their lives possible. And it was packed with people who had been drawn to that. Second thing, by the way, is just, you know, apropos of nothing, that there was a segment where they were celebrating diversity. Who knew that could still be celebrated? Where they were celebrating climate capture. Who knew that could still be separated. Free trade, that was another one. Who knew that could still be celebrated? Literally, they had the one of the first seven African-American pilots who'd been hired by FedEx. He spoke in a celebration of diversity, which doesn't seem to be, but they didn't care. Like, FedEx values diversity, and they seem to be willing to say it. So that's that was great, too. Richard Smith, I think the most quoted sentiments from the entire proceeding were Richard Smith, son of Fred, an executive at FedEx, who got up there. And you can read my column about it. But he got up there and he said, and I quoted out I tweeted out a short version of the quote, but he basically said, we aren't going anywhere. And some people said, well, what was that in reference to? And it really wasn't in reference to anything in specific. It wasn't reference to the world headquarters isn't going anywhere, or our support for the University of Memphis football team isn't going anywhere, or it wasn't specific to anything in particular. What he was saying was, and because I think, let's be honest, whenever we've been talking about Fred since his passing, there's two overwhelming sentiments. One is gratitude for everything that he's done. Gratitude, appreciation, however I'm going to phrase it, for the impact that he had in so many ways. But then the other sentiment is an uneasiness. Well, if he had that kind of impact, if he's the reason for this, 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 and this, if he seared us through every crisis, if he was there when things got tough, if he was stepped up when this, what happens now that he's gone? And I think there is a natural uneasiness about that, an inevitable uneasiness about that. And so that's what Richard was addressing. He basically said, I live here. Most of my siblings live here. And some of the ones who don't live here, we're recruiting them back. He did point out that unlikely that Arthur was going to move back. He's otherwise occupied at the moment, coaching football. But he said, and that was the context in which he said, we're not going anywhere. So what that looks like, you know, whether if the University of Memphis struggle over the football stadium and the debate over whether the more money should have gone to the FedEx Forum or the University of Memphis or whatever, if that had unfolded today, rather than when Fred Smith were still alive, would the family have stepped up? I don't know the answer to that. I really don't know the answer to that. Richard said at a previous conversation that I'd had with Richard that when they went in to meet with Bill Hardgrave, Richard thought that the thrust of that conversation was going to say to Bill Hardgrave, hey, can you calm down for a little bit? Because we got to make sure there's enough money for the Grizzlies. Richard told me he thought that's what they were doing in that meeting. And instead, Fred said, looks to me like you need $100 million. Let's solve that problem. So I can't say whether the Smith family will step up exactly the same way that Fred did all those years. But the sentiment was, I think, reassuring. And in the context of the golf tournament, too. Like, there's a real uncertainty now about the golf tournament going forward. I don't think uncertainty about it.
It did not seem as loud as it did last year.
The uncertainty?
Yeah.
We'll get to the off tournament here in a moment.
Okay.
So that was the other thing. So the first thing was just there was this palpable feeling of love and support, particularly among gratitude FedEx folks. Secondly, there were the reassuring words from Richard, which I think were significant. Thirdly, there was the part that was just related to sports, which was interesting. Bill Hardgrave said that his conversations with Fred would normally go like this. He would get a text from Fred that would say, hey, do you have time for a short conversation about blank? And he said, well, I always did, you know, like I wouldn't find time for a short conversation. He said, and they would invariably be short unless it was about sports. And he said, now, I maybe didn't need to hear all the ways that the Memphis defense could have stopped the Navy quarterback from getting 400 yards.
Just tackle.
You could just see Fred after that Navy game going, what the hell? Fred would have had a million ideas, probably better than the ideas. I think we can say demonstrably better than the ideas that the actual Memphis coaching staff had for stopping.
Looked like we didn't practice much.
Navy. So, but he said, he said that, and then of course he said, and again, this has been widely reported, that Fred was working on getting Memphis into the Big 12, making calls, sending emails about getting Memphis into the Big 12, literally the day before he died. Which isn't that surprising. I think we knew that this wouldn't have happened without Fred. Fred is the big gun that they fire, you know, right? Like is the person they put in touch with, whether it's other corporate titans, whether it's university presidents, they're all taking a call from Fred Smith. Will they take a call from Richard Smith? I think so. It doesn't quite the same. I think that, you know, that'll have to be built up over time.
I still think it's a call you take.
It's definitely a call you take.
If you're a commissioner or whatever, doing your job, you take the phone call.
The other thing that was striking, though, is, you know, this whole where do we go from here thing, and where's the next generation of leaders, and, you know, we spend so much time talking about, and particularly lately, you know, Bill Morris died recently.
Sure.
We just had Elvis Week celebrating another great Memphian who had died, and Fred. Like, it just feels like like, who's the next generation? Where's it coming from? Who are the leaders heading, lifting us into the future? One of the interesting things, though, that did strike me was, and Richard said this, he said, Fred Smith loved this Rockin' River town. And you think about it, of course he could have taken this business anywhere at any point. And even if he didn't take the business, he didn't have to, like, be at a time when so many people are like, I can't wait to get the hell out of Memphis. Like, here's one thing. You hear people all the time say, without FedEx, Memphis would be an asshole, or Memphis would be Shreveport. You know who never said that?
Fred Smith.
All Fred Smith did was try to make, and I don't know what his conversations were like, but private conversations were like, but all he did from all accounts is try to make Memphis better. He loved Memphis. This was his home. He acknowledged it wasn't perfect. And he embraced it anyway, and he worked to make it better. There was a story Bill Hargrave talked about the FedEx Technology Institute on campus. The reason that came to be was they were trying to hire someone at FedEx from Silicon Valley who said, turned down the job and said, I don't want to go. I'm not going to take the job because Memphis doesn't have a culture of innovation.
Yep.
So we didn't look at the, like, you could imagine so many people, Memphians, and I hate this place. It doesn't have a culture of innovation. Instead, what he does, he tries to change it so that he has a culture. He said he wanted to make damn sure no one would say that about Memphis ever again. That's why he's, now we don't have the capacity, you and me and most of the listeners here, we don't have the capacity to start another FedEx Institute of Technology. But you do have a choice between whether you're going to just complain about the problems or whether you're going to try to do something about the problems. I mean, Fred Smith, yes, he loved Memphis. He loved it so much. I mean, let's be honest, Jeffrey, we think getting into the Big 12 is futile, don't we? Or getting into the Power 5 conference. But did that stop him?
No.
The day before he died, he was making calls to try to get Memphis into the Big 12. And it does seem to me that there was something in that to emulate. And I like, there were a lot of high flown words about Fred showed us the way and we have to, you know, capture, embrace the spirit of Fred and whatever. And that's kind of hard to do. The guy's in a different class than most of us, let's be honest. Right. But it is interesting. It is interesting that that guy chose to live his whole life here, comes back from Vietnam, chose to set up his company here.
Two tours, by the way.
Keep his company here. And he didn't have any connection to the University of Memphis.
No.
He went to Yale. And yet he embraced it like it's his own. Like it's his own institution. Like it's his alma mater. And again, it seems to me there is, on a much lesser scale, there is a model for us in that. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about all the other mad things going on in sports. Again, we got Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. It's Jeff Calkins Show. Good to be back. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So maybe you're a little bit skeptical sometimes. Like I, Brian and Casey were. They have a house in Collierville and had to sell their home. And they were, they heard about the cash offer. They'd heard about the cash offer. Easy, convenient cash offer, all of that. They're moving to actually Washington, D.C., as it happens. And so they called Josh to see if it was real. And sure enough, it was absolutely legit. Josh Hyslop made him a full market value cash offer the same day he visited their home. They get to choose their move out date. All goes incredibly easy, stress free. It can be, it can be. Selling your home can be that stress free. But check out Josh Hyslop and the team at Keller Williams Realty. The phone number 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. I've been trying to tell you, Josh will make a guaranteed instant cash offer at full market value for your home. More than 300 five-star Google reviews. And again, with the instant cash offer, same convenience as other cash offers, but you'll walk away with more money. The phone number, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. All right, Jeffrey, it's been a while. Let's play Believe It or Not. This was the last time that the Memphis Golf Tournament will be part of the FedEx Cup playoffs, Jeffrey.
I'm going to say I don't believe that. Most reports that I've seen say the schedule next year is largely going to remain unchanged.
3 years from now.
So I will say I don't know but it has nothing to do with Memphis. It has nothing to do with the PGA Tour. I think they are really going to try to shake up. But in 3 years' time, I think they're going to really try to shake up the format. And so I don't even know if the playoffs are going to be at this part of the calendar. The playoffs might be. There's been some ideas about having the playoffs be earlier in the season and then finish with the players. And then that way major season rolls in. So I don't necessarily believe Tim Buckley.
Again, no one's really saying anything anyway, but Tim Buckley did a nice column on this. And what was striking to me about, or it wasn't a column, it was a news story or just a
piece.
What was striking to me about it was, if you listen to Joe Tomac, who was quoted in that piece, he was saying, having a signature event might be the best of all worlds because it's still one of the premier events on the tour and it could be earlier in the year when it's not so bloody hot and people are still thinking about golf, it's more in the heart of it. And two things. A, that may actually be true. Like it may be just given timing and everything else, maybe nearly as good or as good as what we've just experienced. But then secondly, the fact that he talked about it so openly as the best of all worlds made it feel to me like it sort of was not inevitable, but likely that that happens. Why would you be talking so openly about that? Could be great if it weren't in your future.
I will say this. That is actually a talking point that a lot of tournaments have had. This is not like we focus on it because it's our event. That has actually been a more of a PGA Tour talking point for specific tournaments of like Charlotte, for instance, when Wells Fargo was hosting their tournament and the tour goes and says, hey, we're thinking about making this a signature event, but the price goes up to $22 million. Wells Fargo goes, we're good. But Charlotte's like, well, we like being at this part of the calendar. And then they got Truist to come in and pay for the tournament.
I guess here, Michael, what do you think would be the best situation for Memphis?
I actually am kind of in on the signature event primarily for this reason. I don't know how you really solve the playoffs. Like, I just think what has become so obvious is we realize with the splitting of the tours, the major championships are what matter most. Beyond that, it's a bit of entertainment. But the playoffs, to me, have always just felt like it's at the end of the season. You can kind of feel the guys are tired. And yes, we had a great weekend. Sunday was one of the best golf watching in person I've had.
How did you do it?
We went on Sunday. We only went on Sunday this year. And we went first to 14 for bubbles and birdies and watched some guys hit shots. Went over, tried to watch the leaders tee off, and it was just such a madhouse that Aaliyah had tickets at the Pavilion Pass. So kind of walked around kind of that 18, 17 kind of corridor, 12, you know, the backside of 12, but mainly stayed in 18. You had the TV in front of you, and then you could watch the guys play 18.
I lament that I, because of my sister's wedding over the weekend and then the trial last week, this may be the first one that I've missed completely since I moved to Memphis in 96. But I certainly followed it from afar, and it looked great, honestly. And one of the striking things to me was, you know, Charles just watches CNBC,
sure,
you know, the business channel.
Which golf can pop up there time
and
to time.
And he said, it's all over it. Last week he was telling me the amount of exposure that Memphis is getting,
yep,
on the business, you know, the business channel is extraordinary.
Yep.
And it is true. When I was away, you realize you're not actually as aware of it when you're here because you're like, maybe I'm just hearing about it because it's in Memphis.
Right.
But, it brings incredible publicity and exposure.
I mean, obviously, shout out to the guys, like, for delivering. But his Sunday was awesome. I mean, it obviously – the other thing I realized, and I told Justin this, my other take, the Scottie Scheffler's boring and nobody cares about him. I think that is actually – I think this gets overdone, but I think this is true. I think that is a media narrative. I think it's because they don't know how to write about him. They don't really know how to cover him. Because even at his best, his superpower is just never like hitting bad shots.
Except he did.
He did hit one.
Yeah. He did
hit one. Now, he did struggle with his three. But we're also saying, hey, listen.
So you think he is boring?
No. Well, I mean, I think he's not. He's of the magnetic personalities. He's not there. But, Jeff, if you were not sitting in one of the grandstands or the ticketed spots and you were just on the grounds walking, everyone was following Scotty. I've never seen a crowd like that. Like, even when I followed Rory for every shot of the 61, nothing like this.
Isn't that just because it's now recognized, his greatness has now become recognized, and so you want to see?
I think also he is one of those guys that there's not much to talk about because what do you say? Like, how many different ways can you say, oh, he's awesome? But like, I think back, I think when Drew was hosting, Sam was on here, Sam Hardiman. He's like, who's your favorite golfer? He's like, oh, it's Scottie Scheffler. I think more casual fans love Scottie Scheffler.
I ran into some people yesterday said, yeah, I was really rooting for Scottie. Yeah.
Oh, you could feel it.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. You can't wait for Second Chapter Hard Knocks to drop tonight.
I don't believe that. You and I were texting last week. We both agreed that it was boring.
It was unbelievably boring.
It was just
incredibly boring. What was the – and again, I like whatever. I like being immersed
right,
in the
you
build.
Get to see your hometown, all that, yeah.
But what was interesting?
So I
– for anyone.
First off, did you know that Dion could drift? Like, I would have thought in his contract, like you – I would have thought there would have been, like, no
that.
Racing cars.
That is the drifting, which I didn't even know there was – that's at a and they didn't say this, it is at a Native American reservation,
sure,
is where they do that in outside of Buffalo. I wouldn't think he would do it. Yes, I wouldn't think he would be allowed to be in a race car.
Did you also know kids could ride shotgun?
And kids could ride shotgun. Yes.
I mean, no, I get it. They were helmeted. They were all say, like, but
there was nothing interesting. There was
Josh's spiral looked pretty good.
Tre'Davious White is entertaining. That little comeback story's nice, although he got ripped up by the Giants the other day. I just didn't. And so I think two things are happening here. One is, as has been said over and over again, it's all sanitized. No one wants the good stuff. No one wants, they limit what you can show. They limit what you can, whatever, whatever. But then I think there's another part of it too, which is, okay, well, if they're not going to show the really riveting stuff, we also see so much inside stuff. There's sure. No, like every NFL team has their own cameras inside their own locker room. We see, like, we're taken behind the scenes. When it first came out, we were not taken behind the scenes that commonly. Now we're taken, quote unquote, behind the scenes all the time. And so this is just like an extended play version of a behind the scenes that was just Josh being nice to fans, basically. Oh, isn't it nice there? And so, and then you didn't have the, you didn't have the James Cook holdout, wasn't included yep. in it at all, because he was, at that point, hadn't stopped practicing. And by the way, it's dropping tonight, and the news today is, and James it probably Cook won't be included. It
right,
can't
I would,
be included,
I would
right?
think not.
So it'll end with James Cook not.
Unless they had decided it yesterday and it gets announced today, maybe, possibly, but I would think no.
I mean, James Cook refused to play against the Giants in the preseason game, and I think that's probably where it will end tonight. With this suspense, but now the suspense has been totally killed by him coming back to play today.
I do agree with your point that one of the struggles Hard Knocks is going to have is because we do have more behind-the-scenes footage, it doesn't feel as special. My argument would be is part of what I loved the really early seasons of Hard Knocks, though, is it wasn't necessarily the behind-the-scenes. It was watching the drama of a training camp, of who's going to make the team.
Right.
And, like, they were able to be a lot more real about it.
People getting cut.
Right.
We had no hanger on trying to make the team other than that.
Remember back in like the first or second versions of it, like you would have whoever like the 54th, 55th yeah. guy, they would be in the hotel room with the cameras watching the guy wait by the phone. And it's either he doesn't want the phone to ring. It was great.
Yeah, they ruined that. Memphis Tigers got absolutely screwed in the AP poll. And I say that because if you want to go the others receiving votes and you extend it out to figure where they would be.
Yeah, we started doing the math yesterday.
They would be 39th.
Tied 38th.
Okay, put that better spin on it. Tied 38th. But among the group of five, they would be behind Boise, which is ranked.
Yep.
They would also be behind UNLV and Toledo and Tulane.
Yeah, I'm just not going to say they got screwed because...
Who cares? Who knows?
Well, on top of that, ridiculous. So...
We're counting votes to see where they would rank.
Well, first
off... come on, man. Seriously.
They get to... Look at it in these terms. They get to play Tulane at home. UNLV has to play Boise. Like, if they take care of business, like, it's just not going to matter. Like, to me, the important thing is, like, they are at least on the, like, on the minds of voters.
Well, and that was a point that Gabe made last week when Jason and John were ridiculing Memphis, or I guess it was John. Jason wasn't here. John was ridiculing Memphis, sort of. It was a slow week for putting out a post celebrating the fact that they were receiving votes in the coaches' poll, and Gabe made the point that, you know what, it's actually pretty good. When you have basically no starters returning, that you are sufficiently well thought of as a program now that you will still be ranked just because people assume you will be good. And I do think once upon a time, Memphis was seen as a pretty slipshod football program. And now it is assumed that Memphis will be good.
Yeah.
And that is a totally changed brand.
Well, and to me, the way that I looked at it is I actually think more with the coaches poll than the AP poll. While the coaches oftentimes farm this out in terms of rankings. Most of them do the preseason, and most of them do the end of the season because it impacts bowls and all that. What it said to me was, in the coaching community, Memphis is thought of as a good job.
I see. And that's because Memphis was higher in the coaching than they were in the writers. Ole Miss and Tennessee were both higher in the coaches poll than in the writers.
Yes, Ole Miss was at 15 in the coaches poll.
And now 21 in this one.
Yep.
Tennessee was 18, 24 in this one. The only 24 of the 25 teams were the same. Oklahoma replaces BYU. BYU was in the coaches poll.
They were 23 in the coaches poll.
And now BYU is others receiving votes, and now Oklahoma has replaced BYU. Do you have a theory for why Ole Miss and Tennessee are better regarded by the coaches than by the writers?
My only theory is that coaches know that Ole Miss and Tennessee probably have pretty good NIL capabilities, and writers are like, well, they're both replacing quarterbacks.
We did have, sadly, we had Penn State at 2 in the AP poll, Texas 1, Penn State 2, Oklahoma 3. So we don't have 1 and 2 in the AP poll when Texas goes to Ohio State to play. Buckeyes, by the way, favored in that one by 2.5 last.
I think there was a note, was it from Schefter yesterday?
Checked.
There was a note saying this is like the first time ever the number one team in the country will open up as
an underdog. We'll open up as an underdog. Yeah. I did see that, yes. You are pumped, totally pumped, over the moon about the new Taylor Swift album.
So, of course, that will be the news. Whenever the new Heights? What's the Kelsey show? Heights.
It's their podcast. New Heights podcast.
The New Heights podcast.
And there's a little slice of the podcast in which
teaser.
She holds up the album.
Mm-hmm.
It is blurred out, and the actual full pod when she's introducing the new album, or at least teasing the new album, the podcast. And the album's going to be called The Life of a Showgirl. I know this, being a Swiftie myself.
Of course.
The actual podcast is Wednesday, drops Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central. And that's where you can hear the full discussion. We do know the name of the album. We know that the album's coming. We know that it's 12. We do not know when it is going to be released.
Yeah.
This is the biggest news of the day, right?
Oh, yeah. Culture-wise, yeah.
Culture-wise, yeah.
So I tend to think Taylor's best work is not when she's happy. It's when she's coming off the breakup.
Right.
I tend to think that's her best work. I will give it a listen. Am I going to like have release dates circled on the calendar and make sure I listen to it cover to cover the day it's released? No, but I am. When she makes music, I think it's news.
Oh, it's clearly news.
I mean, it's the biggest pop star in the world.
I talked to Ron Olson on the way in. I said, are you guys talking about this? He said, every 30 minutes.
There you go.
So there you go. The next Taylor Swift album will be coming out. All right, if you're not totally wildly over the moon pumped about that, you are totally wildly over the moon pumped about Jackson Dart's performance against the Buffalo Bills.
Thought he looked very good. I'm not going to say over the moon just because I do put into context of who he was playing against. Like the Bills, it looked like didn't play much of anybody, and then Jackson's going against the 2s and the 3s. I would hope my starting quarterback or whatever, my first round quarterback looks good against him. I just keep coming back to it's just going to be a long year of watching Russell Wilson. Like I just want to play Jameis, have fun, and then when the season's over, turn to Jackson and hope for the future.
You do wonder, how good does he have to be for the GM and the coach to keep their job? I mean, that is the key, right?
I think it is definitely the key.
And can you see a world where he is good and promising, but they lose their jobs anyway?
Yes, because the Maras and the Tishes are kind of fly-by-their-seat people. And
I mean, he could look good at the end of a 3-win season. And then,
yeah.
you could lose and then you would change.
Did Herbert get drafted by? Was Staley the coach when Herbert got drafted? I'm trying to remember. Like, I do feel like there have been examples of rookie quarterbacks that kind of looked okay. Yeah, because I think Anthony Lynn was originally the coach, and then Staley gets the job. Like, there are examples of rookie looking good, and they still move on.
The thing is, though, Anthony Lynn wasn't a quarterback guy. It wasn't an offensive guy.
True.
Dable is. And so if Jackson Dart looks good, Dable will, you would think, get a lot of the credit for Jackson Dart.
I think what's going to help Shane, there's a lot of buzz, and I'm very skeptical, but there is a lot of buzz about the defense looks good.
Right.
And that I think if you can sit there and say their schedule is brutal, but they look like a better team, and if Jackson's coming along, I can see where they get next year, and they're on the super short leash.
It's funny, the buzz that comes out after, this is where we talked last year about taking the preseason play.
Of course.
Right? There was obviously the Shedeur Sanders buzz.
Yep.
There was a lot of buzz about the Jets, the new Jets, and Justin Fields looking good, and they're going to run the ball now. The Jets last year had the fewest rushing attempts in the NFL, period. And
I wonder why that was.
Inside the red zone, not just the fewest, 27.5% of inside the red zone was runs, which was 10% fewer.
That is like multiple standard deviations
than the next team. Number two. Like, yes. They just threw the ball because that's what Aaron Rodgers wanted to do. Now they got Breece Hall and they got Braden Allen. Then they got a third guy, Isaiah David. Like, there's buzz about them. There's obviously buzz about the Pats. The Pats destroyed the Commanders.
Yep. Well, and Vrabel getting in the bottle of pie, I think that was awesome.
Are you any of this buzz intriguing you? Are you going along with some of the good vibes?
I do think, like, I actually think for the Jets, it is important that it has felt like they have had the culture change and they've kind of knocked out the nonsense. And I think that's what Aaron Glenn is going to bring. Like, it's an adult and it feels like they're making adult decisions and they're acting differently than the Jets have in the past. I have taken the preseason pledge just in general for the league. Honestly, as good as Shedeur looked, my bigger takeaway from that game was when it was ones versus ones, Bryce Young looked really good. Like, Bryce Young looked like it was a continuation of the second half of last year. Two drives right down the field, bang, bang, bang. Like, he looked awesome.
And how about Caleb Williams not playing at all?
I mean, to me, like,
Colin was going on. He said Colin Cowherd's take on it was when, because he relates everything to something else in the world, right? He said, if you've got a new thing you're releasing and you're a tech person and you don't release it because it's still in beta, is it basically he's just not ready? Is they clearly didn't throw him out there. Everyone played. Lots of quarterbacks played.
Yeah,
and they didn't throw him out there because he's doesn't look good.
I'm still not ready to say that. I think the Jets are trying to do, or I'm sorry, the Bears. I think the Bears are trying to do what Dable did his first year with Daniel Jones, where if you followed camp, every story out of camp was Daniel looks horrible. He's not even going to make it. But we later found out that Dable organized camp to make it be very difficult on him. I kind of think that's what Ben Johnson's doing on Caleb to see, like, hey, what he can take. But I do think that we'll see him again this preseason.
All right, we got to take a break. Chris Harrington, when we return, it is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.